And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Steffi Barnett. Today on the show we go somewhere that's not nearly as LGBT friendly as the UK.
In a two-part special we're heading to Barbados.
And some congratulations to BCFM too.
All coming today right here on Shout Out.
You did it. You did it. Laura beat you to it last week.
Oh. Yeah,
Ivan was
that.
Slow off the stops.
She couldn't this week because she's not here.
No.
True, but I was expecting you to try and beat
him. Oh, really?
Or do the bum.
Well, he likes being first.
I was too busy concentrating on the fact that the event that I was about to publicise is happening tonight, so I'm doing a different one instead.
Oh, right.
Oh, good planning then.
Yeah, I'm very quick off the mark.
The OS team.
There we go. Yeah, that's it. Exactly. Well, what exciting week.
Yes, joyous news from Oz.
So much going on, yeah. Mm. And a little trophy for us here at BCFM, actually.
Yeah.
Apologies to the other stations, but BCFM just won
an award. I think they'd be very supportive.
Well, no. Yeah, no, it was for probably, not mentioning them, that's why.
Well, it was probably mainly down to this show.
Let's
take some kudos.
Excuse me, the station
manager told me Monday that it was down to this show and he was very grateful to the shout out crew. Nice. So that comes from the station manager.
There we go, fantastic.
I haven't seen Pat in a long time, actually.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen him in a few weeks, but I'm sure I'll catch up with him over the next couple. But there's an award,
very heavy award sitting just behind you, Andy, on the shelf. Yes. It's very heavy. I know that because I picked it up. It's very heavy, isn't it?
Yes.
Very solid. There we go.
Bristol Pride Community Awards 2017 Positive Community Impact.
Well, we certainly have.
There'd be some impact if you were somebody.
Not that we're encouraging anybody to anybody else over.
So do I need to say sorry to Pat because I still haven't put a shelf on the wall in here yet?
Well, he may have mentioned the shelf, but
I bet you any money he has.
He may have mentioned that shelf.
It would make a great bookend. It really would.
Sorry, Pat. So.
We had
a shelf in the previous studio one, didn't we? That, and it had all the awards from it. We haven't got around to putting
it up. It was a bit getting dangerous, though. Without blowing our trumpets or anything, there were so many awards, it was getting a bit bowing in the middle, wasn't it, really? So we need an extra reinforced shelf.
Well, it's fine, because the walls here are solid concrete. They're really difficult to drill into.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a nuclear bunker, this place, in former life.
So welcome to James as well. I think you're an OS virgin, aren't you? You've done the news, but you haven't done OS.
I've recently had the pleasure of doing the news, it will be twice today. So, having a go at the events this afternoon. Yeah,
we're so sorry you have to do it with Ivan.
Yeah, there you go. Double bubble, you got us twice.
Ivan's been teaching me my new news voice.
You have a news voice.
Maura Stewart.
They say I have a news voice as well.
You do. You really do. You actually sound quite professional when you do.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind.
Just when he walks out the studio.
Yeah. Exactly.
So is this your first out show?
No, you say that every time.
Yeah.
But
well, you don't do it very often.
I don't do it very often, but times is hard.
Times are hard.
Sounded just like me then,
it
didn't
it? Bristolian. I was doing
a missing. Well, you're missing the parrot.
Yeah, and you
that's
have
true.
Yeah.
Authenticity, Ivan.
I'm surprised you didn't bring back a parrot from Barbados. They've got some very exotic birds in Barbados, haven't they?
Yes.
What, blurt ones?
No. I'm not sure where this is going.
No.
I think we ought to do the
just wondering
the out shout.
All right. Here we go. So, our shout, our pick of the events coming up this week with Ivan and James. Who's going first?
Well, I'm going to go first, actually. We're going to have a James sandwich today. We've got three quickies.
No comments, please.
We've got the launch. Now, we know that LGBT hate crime has been on the increase, especially since the Brexit vote. Seems a bit of a green light for hate, really, unfortunately. But there's a new Bristol Hate Crime and Discrimination Service launching. Now, it's in a couple of weeks. It's on Thursday, the 30th of November, from 1 to 15 to 5 p.m. p.m. with a bit of lunch as well. That's at City Hall. Now, the reason why I'm doing it 2 weeks in advance is because, A, I didn't have anything else, but B, you do need to book in advance for this. This is the thing. You have to go to Eventbrite and look up Bristol Hate Crime, and you'll see the event on there. They're asking people to come along and celebrate the launch of this newly configured and enhanced collaboration by Sari, alongside Avon and Bristol Law Centre, Brandon Trust, Bristol Mediation, Bristol Mind and LGBT Bristol. And all those organisations are getting together to offer free confidential casework and mediation and restorative justice as well for tackling hate and prejudice, and guidance and advice for not just individuals but also for agencies and communities, and training as well. It's all there. Get involved. If you want to know more about it, have a look at the Eventbrite page, Bristol Hate Crime Discrimination Services Launch. If you look that up, it'll be there.
Cool.
There we go. Over to James. He's got a reminder for us.
Yep, just a quick reminder for our trans friends and communities. We are giving you a reminder today of the Trans Day of Remembrance. It's going to be held on Friday the 24th of November. It's going to be held at Anson Rooms at the Bristol University. That'll be starting from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. and there will be light food and refreshments as well.
We're hoping, as an add-on to that, to have the some of the team from that in next week.
Okay.
Oh, marvellous.
Thank you, Steph.
And finally, just one other thing. St Mungo's, who we associate with homelessness, of course, there is a lot of LGBT homelessness out there. They are looking for volunteers to get involved of another new initiative. It's a new LGBTQ plus wellbeing mental health group in central Bristol at the beginning of December, and it's going to run twice monthly. They're saying, do you identify in this group? You don't have to have been homeless or are homeless, but basically have had or know somebody who has had mental health issues. Would you like to support others with their well-being and mental health as well? Gain new skills, experience and training and more. Now, Thomas Cruz, that's C-R-E-W-S, he's asked people to private message him. This is via Facebook, actually. So it's on the LGBT Bristol Facebook page, and he's put an article up there about this new initiative by St Mungo. So he's asked people to get in touch with him directly. Obviously, with these kinds of things, there are privacy issues at heart. So obviously we're not giving out email addresses, etc. at the moment.
You were on about sleeping outside.
This has nothing to do with the Bristol Sleep Out, which took place on Wednesday. Yeah, that was for a whole gamut of different young people who are homeless. It was raising money for them, actually. So I was at that.
That
but this doesn't actually have anything to do with that, but there was a connection between the homelessness, yeah. So there you go. That is it.
Yeah, so can I just ask you?
Of course.
Are you like that on television?
What do you mean?
When you're on TV?
Was I waving my hands around?
You're animated.
I don't know. I'll have to go back and watch myself on the telly.
Have you got a Mediterranean background, like Italian?
No, Indian, actually.
Yeah. Are they animated when they talk?
They can be when they dance.
Have you ever seen them do Showtime? It's all up here.
Oh, but you have to when you're doing a show like Showtime.
Exactly. I do high kicks and all sorts.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, that's the old clunk, is my foot hitting the mic. Right. The thing.
Somebody talk about something else, quick.
Sequins.
Sequins.
Did you say the opera?
Wearing sequins.
Opera's in town.
The opera is
moment?
In town, yes. Yeah. Welsh National Opera are in. So, they're doing Eugene Onegin, another opera that I can't remember by Janáček, and Strauss's Die Fledermaus. So I'm going to see that on.
Yeah, with someone who can't sing.
With somebody can't. Yeah, Steve Spears.
Quite interesting.
You
had
seen Steve Spears, the actor. He was in Star Wars and Pirates of the Caribbean. Stella, he's in that comedy. I interviewed him the other week, and he's taking part in this opera, but he can't sing.
It's a
non-speaking comedic role, but he's been great. He's been demystifying opera for those people who think it's a bit snobby.
Oh, right. Is it a bit snobby?
No, I don't think it is. Because, you know, it's like, wear what you like. Because I said to him, you can't see anybody after the first two rows. Tell you once the lights are up. You don't care what they're wearing. So, you know, he said, wear what you like. And you can get in there for like 10, 15 quid. So it's not even expensive.
Would you traditionally dress up for the opera?
Well, you know, if you go to Glyndebourne or something like that, then people put on their, you know, dinner
black
suits
tie.
And black tie and stuff like that. But you know what? You can wear what you like. As long as it's not offensive, you know, it doesn't really matter.
I always dress up for the opera.
Yeah, obviously you do. But you know, it's about personal choice and not criticising what other people choose to wear, really. If you want to dress up to the nines, that's absolutely great. You want to celebrate. Or if you just want to relax.
I wonder whether, because some of these things you're supposed to, aren't
relax in slacks.
Relaxing.
No, it puts people off. That's the problem. If you start saying that, you've got to dress up. It puts people off from going to see it. And people, you might not be able to afford a suit and tie, you know, or whatever.
Where is the opera?
It's at the Bristol Hippodrome.
Oh, right, cool.
Yeah, all week.
Yeah. I think they
no, sorry, till Saturday. What am I talking about? All week, yeah. Saturday's the last performance.
Yeah, I mean, it's Saturday. Thursday. If you're listening on the podcast, sorry, it's a bit late.
Yeah, you may have missed it. Sorry.
Is it sold out?
It's selling pretty well from okay. when I last saw. Yeah,
so
yeah.
I haven't been in the Hippodrome, but they put new seating in the Hippodrome. They
put new seating in that is lovely, but it looks exactly like the old seating, but it is a bit more comfortable, tilted back, so you've got a little bit more knee room.
Right.
But so the actual look is the same.
Is it brand new or is it?
The seating is brand new. Oh, the seating is all brand new. New carpet as well. Red, yeah. Again. So you can't tell the difference, but it just feels a bit fresher in there. Yeah.
It's a nice venue, that one.
It's lovely. I love that place. Yeah. Biggest stage in the west of England.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And it still has a ceiling that opens up, doesn't it?
It does, but I think they've had issues in the past with pigeons and seagulls, so they don't do it too often. I think it got jammed open on one stage as well.
That'd be quite intriguing in the middle of the opera, yeah, wouldn't it? With the pigeons at the top.
As a big orifice.
Yes.
Yes. Cool.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's a day without love.
The Love Affair, yeah, the 60s. Affair. Hence the stereo sounded odd because it was,
I have no idea what that would sound like in a car. It's,
They did in the 60s. They split the stereo in a very weird way. Not subtle, like they do.
It was to make it.
It's very pronounced.
Really, yeah. Because
the lead singer would be on the left or the right, and then the backing singers would be on the opposite track, so it sounded. Mamas and the Papas tracks are the same as that.
Yeah.
From the 60s.
Yeah. I think a lot of them got remixed. You know, like the Mamas and the Papas on there's been remixed.
Hmm.
To be more kind of what
it's more subtle,
our kind of normal stereo.
Yeah, but that was an original 60s, that one.
Anyway, now tell me about Barbados.
I thought that was quite apt, that track, A Day Without Love. Went to Barbados, and the LGBTQ and cutie pop communities are very hidden over there, as you can well imagine. There's a lot of
I honestly had no idea.
Well, it's a conservative religious society, like most of the Caribbean.
You think Barbados, you think hot and sunny and
it is
holiday
hot and sunny. And it is
fun.
Yeah, it is packed with holidaymakers. But if you're LGBTQ or cutie poc, then it's hard. It's hard. Some of the following interview comes across as quite shocking. There are some heartwarming moments, though, and it just goes to show that there's a lot of strength out there. It's very hot where I am. Luckily, there's a breeze. Well, I think we're sat in about 31 degrees. Humidity is quite high, so it can be uncomfortable. The country, Barbados, and I've met up with Shem. Shem, what do you do for a living?
I'm actually a professional hairstylist here in Barbados.
Are you out on the island, or do you feel because of the prejudices within the island that you have to sort of stay hidden?
I wouldn't say that per se. I would say that I enjoy myself. I don't care what people think about me. So I just go and enjoy myself. If someone try to bash me or whatever, I just ignore it.
Have you been party to homophobia?
Yes, it's a lot here in Barbados because we see Barbados as a religious country, so it's not accepted in Barbados. It's not legal at all. Same-sex marriage or being gay is not right here in Barbados. No, it's not.
Okay. So what about the rest of the L and the B and the T? Is that still not acceptable? Trans, lesbian, bisexual?
Well, I would say we have like two or three trans people here. One.
Would you say there was probably more, but just hidden?
Yes, there's probably more, but hidden, yes. But I found that now, since it's not accepted here, I found that most of my friends, everybody has seek asylum to move to Canada.
So Canada is seen as a safe place.
A safe place, for them, yeah.
Is it easy country to get into because of the persecution?
Yes, the positive persecution, yes.
Is that what you mentioned, to be able to move over to?
Yes.
Have you thought about moving?
Well, a couple of times, yes, I've been told about, but since I have my salon here, it's hard to just go and start all over again. So
yeah.
I try my best to ignore it and just pull through.
That takes some strength.
Yes.
Your customers, they're obviously accepting of you because they keep coming back to you. So how do they treat you? How are they with you?
They're very nice, actually. Very good. Very loving people. But there's some of them, they have some husbands which they don't agree with it, so they...
Do you find that it's the men?
It's the men,
bigger problem then?
And I find it's the men in the older generation that doesn't accept it at all.
Okay. That's probably the same, actually, most of the world over. In the UK, that the demographic of that is probably just the same.
Yes.
But there is obviously a lot more tolerance in the UK now, as in there's same-sex marriage.
Correct.
In most of Europe. Are you with somebody?
No, I'm actually single right now.
Okay. Would you feel comfortable showing affection in Barbados to...
I don't mind, but as I said, I don't mind showing affection to my partner. But I find now if you do have a partner, the other partner doesn't want to show it because we know how Barbados could get. But for me, it's not a problem.
Okay. You're quite a strong character, aren't you, Sha?
Yes, I do have a strong character. Yes, I do agree with that. Yes, I do have a strong character. I really don't care what people think. There's also some... And not everybody's like me. Don't care what people think. They have... Some young gay people that were here and their parents put them out. They beat them, they cut them up with sharp, like knives or whatever we call here. But you guys might call it machete, but we call it a collins. And they're very abusive here. So sometimes if you see a group of men on the block here sees a gay man walking, they will take up a rock and just throw at you.
Wow.
Yeah. So
do you feel scared then when you walk in around?
Well, I will tell you this. I don't trouble anybody. I'm very peaceful. But if you come for me, I can defend myself.
That sounds a good idea. Mm-hmm. Have you actually, do you know people that have actually been subject to that type of abuse?
Yes, a lot. I there was about 5 or 6 people that I knew that were all targeted because they were gay. And they either one got shot in the hand. One got nearly their back, their whole shoulder sliced off. So they actually use that because once you have the police report, as I said, you can go to Canada. And once you have the police report, you can seek asylum. You have to have like a police report or something, a witness or something stating that it's unfit for you to live here. So they give up their rights maybe for like 12 or 15 years and they just... go there, and the Canadian government give them a grant, which allows them to give them a place to stay, send to school if they haven't finished school, and give them a monthly income to get on their feet.
Yeah. So Canada seems the place, doesn't it? Because they're actually taking people from Chechnya as well, and now Azerbaijan is kicked off with anyone gay who's seen as being arrested or tortured. How did you find growing up and like in family life when you were younger with your mum and dad?
Well, my mom still told me, Sham, I know you're gay, though. But with my dad, it took a while for him to get accustomed, but now we're good. He's fine. He wasn't abusive or nothing that. He just didn't know how to maybe deal with it, I would say. But he would say, well, Sham, if this is what you are, I still love you as my son. But please keep it low because I don't want anybody to harm you or do anything to you.
I guess that was their biggest fear, wasn't it? That you'd be hurt.
Yes, but I really, be honest, I didn't have a bad childhood with my parents, or me coming out gay. They were more supportive than anything else. To me, it was my grandparents now that wasn't outside of it.
So are your grandparents still alive?
Yes, I have my two grandmothers from both sides are alive. And one of my granddads from my mom's side is alive, yes.
And they don't know?
They know. No.
Okay.
Yeah, they know. But, you know, it took a while for them to upset it and start back getting the relation to speak with me.
Yeah. And how about school? Was that difficult?
School, for me, I'm at school with all boys. So it wasn't a problem to me. I had some bullying, yes, but ain't nothing that I can handle.
So school was okay? You coped with that?
Okay.
Yeah. Are there any societies or groups on the island where people of LGBT community can actually meet up?
Well, we do have parties. Like we have a party for our Cropover, which is our own carnival here in Barbados. We have one for Easter. We have one for Halloween. We have one for Christmas as well. All the seasons we have here, we have one. But it's more like a private something. Not everybody knows about it. It's a message you would send out and say, this is where the party is. But not like it's open for the general public. It will have to be around the same circle that we would know. Well, this is a party coming up.
Yeah, so it's done very carefully.
Send a private message on Facebook or something. But it's nothing to open the public because we're still afraid that, you know what, someone that isn't gay would find birthday parties and just maybe kill or shoot all of us. So, yeah.
We were talking about the transgender community on Barbados. You actually know trans people?
I know about 3 of them.
Yeah. How do they cope?
Well, two of them are older generations. So you have one that was in a lot in the public eye. And I think Barbados has to respect her because she can defend herself if anyone comes for her. She used to work in a jewelry store called Little Sweet, so we refer to her as Didi. And she's a strong personality as well, so she could defend herself. She don't care what anybody thinks or anything like that.
I guess the island needs people like you and the stronger ones to help others come up on the step.
I will say this. I'm strong, yes, but sometimes when we are attacked, the police are not even given satisfaction of how we want it here.
So they're homophobic as well, the police.
Homophobic as well. Very, very homophobic. They don't care about you. You're like nothing to them, really. If you get in, somebody troubles you, then they don't care. They take down the report and that's it. They don't go and warn the person or tell the person something.
Have you been in trouble with the police?
Well, I will say, not me personally in trouble with police, but someone came a time and was troubling me, like trying to attack me all the time because I'm being gay, and they made a complaint. They really didn't get any satisfaction. But I told them, next time he comes around me, I'm going to take matters into my own hands, and that's it.
I guess that's the only way to go, isn't it? If you're not getting any support.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Shout Out Podcast.
I'm feeling very young.
Of course you are. Put yourself in my place, the Elgins, bit of Tamla Motown. We could be going back to part 2, so we'll be going back to Barbados after the news.
Yeah. Yeah, a bit of an emotional one, though, man.
It shocks me now when I hear what he said about when he's been attacked or his friends are being attacked by machetes and knives, and he's seen the injuries. And the one good point, there's the police are actually receiving diversity training on Barbados.
Oh, amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, how far that'll go and how will it stick, I have no idea. But
It's all stepping in the right direction, isn't it?
It is, but when somewhere. You see 40 of his friends, when he's seen 40 of his friends disappear from the island to go to Canada,
it's a mass exodus, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
That's so
It's
sad.
Not uncommon. The similar thing happens on Jamaica as well. Many people go to the United States, many LGBT people, because they don't feel safe in their own country.
Mm.
It's very, very sad.
Yeah.
Still, got some very positive news in the news coming up shortly, yes.
It doesn't mention shelves, does it?
No shelves. Well, there may be something.
That could be a news flash.
There may be something about
flash,
something.
Flash, Studio One, no shelf installed.
Yes.
Station manager goes ape. Deep, 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 deep. We got a bleep, bleep, bleep thing, you know. And
what happened to you? You just suddenly woken up or something.
Oh, the caffeine's just.
Oh, right.
What you sort of saying the Big Ben chimes or something?
No, you know, no. Some stations have the news and they go, I'm thinking more of Radio Luxembourg in the 70s, where in between the news items.
Yeah,
it's like Morse code.
I remember what you're talking about.
Titanic era.
Obviously, my version of Morse code didn't do it.
Well, the BBC News had something like that, going back a bit, but yeah. I don't remember.
Even BBC News now has a kind of beep in it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, yeah. It has a little beep.
There was a time when they used to do the hours as well.
It's supposed to be like the Greenwich Pips, isn't it? It's supposed to be sort of like doing that.
Anyway, I haven't got any pips for you, but I have got a jingle.
That'll do.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday the 16th of November.
The Bristol Pride Gala and Awards took place last Saturday night at the Grand Hotel in Bristol. The Shout Out team and BCFM, Shout Out's home station, were there to mark the occasion and even took home an award themselves, the Positive Community Impact Award.
But the winner is BCFM Radio.
Thank you so much to Darren and the whole Pride team. At BCFM, we don't just tick boxes, we live and breathe diversity, and anyone who's been involved will know that. So for us, especially from the whole Bristol Pride movement. It's a massive, massive honour for us. So thank you to everybody here tonight on behalf of BCFM. Thank you.
Other awards were presented throughout the course of the evening to organisations and companies as diverse as Aviva, M-Shed and the National Trust.
Are you looking for meaningful gifts this Christmas? As the festival becomes more commercialised, different communities are looking for ways to reconnect to this ancient winter festival, which far predates the monotheistic religions. Our friends at the LGBT lobby organisation Stonewall have launched an online shop, where you can buy items such as t-shirts and mugs for your loved ones. The items bear some of the Stonewall's iconic logos, including Some People Are Gay and Come Out for Trans. All proceeds will go to support Stonewall's work with the government over the coming year to advance LGBT civil rights around the globe.
Tributes have been paid to Kevin Pearson from the Avon and Fire and Rescue, who has died after a short illness. Mr. Pearson had been head of the fire service for 16 years. In 2007, a row erupted after homophobic firefighters shone lights at gay men engaged in the now perfectly legal pastime of cruising. In the erupting furore, the Bristol Evening Post, which in those days was under different management to today, was accused of stoking homophobia. Local anti-gay extremists hiding behind poison pen letters sent hate mail to Mr. Pearson, threatening his wife and his children. Mr. Pearson remained steadfast, however, in his commitment to equalities and diversity in the fire service.
The late Margaret Thatcher, Prime Minister of the 1980s, once said the referenda are a bad way to run a country because the public is too stupid to know what it is voting for. Her analysis has gained credence in some recent reports. Bristol 247 in its November issue meets up with the staff at Surrey, an anti-racist campaign charity which reports a massive increase in hate incidents since the Brexit vote of 2016. Meanwhile, both Gay Star News and Pink News report that equality groups down under have found that the Australian plebiscite on marriage equality has enabled a massive outpouring of anti-gay bigotry, with the LGBT people and their supporters subject to abuse, public ridicule and physical assault by forces who have not focused on marriage, but are instead using the vote to facilitate heterosexual rage.
Gay singer Morrissey is no stranger to saying what he thinks about local or international issues. As the lead singer of the seminal 1980s indie band The Smiths, he released records advocating animal rights and veganism and received criticism for some quarters for songs about the Moors murderers Ian Brady and Myra Hindley. On Morrissey's new album, the singer broaches the subject of Palestine and Israel, a conflict that causes headaches for LGBT campaigners in the past as different groups take sides. Morrissey says in a slew of new songs that the critics of Israel are just as jealous of the state's success and its position as a democratic outpost in the Middle East. He accuses anti-Zionists of being bitter anti-Semitic failures. And Mr. Morrissey has never particularly spoken about gay rights, but his effeminate persona and stage presence has helped many non-conformist men, gay and straight alike, to express their flamboyant side.
Starbucks is once again to take a political stance as it launches its festive cups ahead of the winter festival season. The launch advert for 2017 winter theme cups, which will appear online and on conversational televisions, features a few moments of a female same-sex couple enjoying a warm coffee on a crisp winter's day. Starbucks has already taken a stand with the seasonal cups, regularly defying demands from religions groups that they make a less circular celebration of all winter festivals. And of course, there's another reason to support pro-LGBT brands such as Starbucks this Christmas. Their coffee is traded in accordance with international fair trade standards, which means that the farmers in the developing world are paid a good price for their coffee beans.
And finally, a return to Australia for good news. It was announced Tuesday that a clear majority of the electorate had voted in favour of marriage equality, with a staggering 61% of the referendum in favour of change, which the government has now pledged to enact. The fight for equality is not over yet, however, with a number of amendments expected to be filed and debated in the Australian Parliament before that can happen. In the meantime, from all of us here at Shoutout, congratulations to our Antipodean cousins, as they say, I do to equality.
For these news stories and more from the LGBT universe, check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Ivan Jackson
and James Wilkinson.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Yeah, one for the country show. That's
yes. I think it's one for Ivan as well, from when he's straight.
I think Phil Lyons is going to love
and
that song.
And if you've got the keys to anyone's gate.
He's probably on his way in now, actually, listening to that.
He is, yes.
If anyone doesn't know, Phil Lyons presents the country show here on BCFM after Shout Out broadcast.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure you appreciate the words to that as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
Do you know what year that was from?
It's from the 60s.
So, no.
No, nothing's coming out the top of my head. I've got headphones on.
That's... Some Velvet Morning?
Yep, Lee Hazelwood and Nancy Sinatra. And fabulous. Lee Hazelwood wrote that.
And Nancy sang country?
She did a lot, yes. Yeah, I'm with Lee Hazelwood. Yeah. Well. Right, we go back to Barbados now, my interview with Shem. We talk a little bit about politics, but I'd just like to say good afternoon to those of you who I know are listening in Barbados, because I've just had a text to say you are. So,
oh, goodness
so
me.
Welcome. Yeah, wow. The weather's quite dour here up to what you're experiencing. Yeah, here's part two of my interview with Shem. Do you know any... people who've actually gone to Canada, have your friends gone to Canada?
I will tell you, no, but nearly about 40 people have gone to Canada.
Really? That many?
A lot of them.
Do you still keep in touch?
Yeah, we still keep in touch. I go to Canada sometimes as well for vacation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's a good set of them that are there. A lot. And they're still going. And I find it's a younger generation to like around 18, 19, they just go. And I think about going more than once, but I say, if my dad died, how am I going to get back? Because you can't come back right away. If you come back, you give up. And it's hard to say that a family member died and you can't be here for the funeral or the wait or whatever. It's hard.
So once you've gone to Canada and they give you citizenship, do you have to revoke your Bajan citizenship or can you retain that?
I think so, and I'm not too sure. I don't know if that's the real thing, but I know from the time you give them, like, it's about 12 or 8 years it takes to get your citizenship up there. You can't leave between that transition. Maybe after you get your Canada passport or whatever, then you could come and visit.
What about the lesbian community? Do you actually keep in touch with other groups within the LGBT?
We're all one group, the lesbians, the gays, we all party together.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not like there's a different section for gay women. We all come together.
Ah, that sounds good.
Yes. Yeah.
So those parties you have, it encompasses the whole rainbow.
The male and female LGBT community, yes.
Yeah. Do you keep in touch internationally with other Caribbean islands like Jamaica or even Europe? Come to that?
Not really. I have some friends in Trinidad that are gay. They do the same thing here. They keep it.
It's all kept quiet.
All kept quiet, and they keep it separate parties. Like you only know the party if you get an invitation saying it's a party going on.
What about the younger generation coming up through? Because in Europe and in the States as well, the younger generation, like the teens and that, seem a lot more accepting of LGBT plus community. Are you finding that on the islands that the younger ones are beginning to sort of be a little bit more open-minded, especially with the internet as pervasive as it is now?
To me, not really. To me here, because if you have coming up, no matter if there's internet and you have a mom and dad or grandparents saying that's wrong, that's not right, the kids are going to come up with that in their head, build up here in anything, but in States it's different. I think everybody's equal in States or the UK, but here, or Canada, but here, if your home, your parents keep saying, you better don't grow no gay, people are like that, I find that, you know, it's going to still be instilled in them and they're just going to come up just hating gay people the same way in Barbados.
Does religion take a large part of society? Yes. It keeps control?
Yes, religion keeps a lot of control here about the gay community here, yes.
Shem, tell me about the politics of the island and the pressures from the UK on another Commonwealth country about the LGBT community.
Yeah, I remember the Queen asking the government here to, as we're a Commonwealth country, we still have a good relationship with the Queen. Sheila asks us to legalize same-sex marriage here, and the government kick up a big fuss about it. The Christians society here, the religion society and Christians kick up a big fuss about it, and they didn't pass it. But I find it very hard for the opposition leader, Mia Motley, the only BLP, the Barbados Labour Party. She is a lesbian, and
is she openly gay?
She's openly gay. She doesn't care, but they'd rather not give a woman, maybe that is a lesbian, that would do a really good job of ruling this country, to get the current government in, out, and give her a chance and let her spread her wings and bring back Barbados to what it used to be. They're just afraid that because she's a lesbian that she's going to legalize same-sex marriage. And I find they give her a very, very hard time.
Yeah. Does she tend to be popular on the island, or is there...
She's loved by the BLP members. She's a very good person. She's a very good lawyer. She's a very good economist, right. And she is really good at it. And I think she would get back Barbados to the way it used to be. But as I said, she's being gay, people would just not vote. Mm. They'd rather vote for the DLP, which is just mashing up the tourist side of Barbados, taxing us everywhere, and downgrading Barbados to the same level as Venezuela. And I think they should give her a chance.
It does seem very expensive on the island.
It is very... The cost of living is very, very high, because this government, to be honest, does not know what they're doing.
Shem, thank you so much for chatting to me.
Thank you for having me.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
I'm liking that one.
Good, isn't it?
Yeah, really good one.
Yeah. That was a
funky track, that one.
Put together by the hard work of a friend of Shoutout, Alan Coulthard.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's going to the ILGA Europe and supporting the LGBTQIA communities in Chechnya.
Money from sales, yeah?
Yes. Yeah.
It was recorded a little while ago, actually. You may remember we spoke to him. Did you end up going up there?
No, I didn't.
You nearly didn't you?
Yeah. It was put together in Manchester, and also then edited in London. But the artists taking part and given their time for free was Sybil, Sam Bailey, Susanna D, Soraya, Vivian, Angie Brown. Angie Brown, remember her from the 90s? Dance.
Yes, that
was. She was quite big in the 90s dance music era. Mary Kiani, and lots more.
Chopin's even joined in.
Did they?
Yeah.
That's what okay. It says on my notes. Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So yeah, but no, really funky track, that one.
Probably 99p in the usual places, I imagine. Is
it's
that right?
Coming out
November the 24th.
Yeah, 24th wow. November. So okay. That's a kind of like exclusive. Well, I don't know if it's exclusive, but it's definitely, you know, you can't buy it yet.
And that's raising money for LGBT people in Chechnya. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. So it's really all the horrible things that have been going on over
yeah,
there.
So. Really good cause, because I think a number of I think Canada aren't they extraditing people from Chechnya and actually giving them asylum?
Yep. So as well as Barbados, they're taking from Chechnya. Yeah. They're doing good things.
They
Canada.
Are great. Mind you, they've got a big country to fill, haven't they, basically? They've got lots of space. Yes. We've got lots of space here. People say, well, the country's full up, but it's not.
No. Just how much? Okay.
Yeah,
you're starter for 10.
Go on.
How much land is built on in the UK?
How much? What percentage-wise?
Yeah.
Well, like it's difficult.
There's quite a lot of mountainous areas, aren't there, in Scotland and Wales? And so, ooh.
But when you fly over, I mean, you fly
percentage.
All the time.
Give me a number.
You say 10, but you say 10%. Do you know what? I am going to go for a little bit less. I'm going to go for about 7%.
Oh, close. James.
We're getting all numbersy now, are we? Oh gosh,
it's only a guess, mate.
5.5.
Actually, you're the closest.
There you go. You
6%.
You're going to be for the Christmas
of the
quiz.
Country is built on.
That's amazing.
Wow.
James might be, a contender for the Christmas quiz. I think actually. Yeah.
But that takes the whole of the UK. I bet if you put just England alone, is probably we got most of it because you think Wales is quite wild. It's got some lovely parts.
Wales is quite wild. I know a few Welsh would agree with you there.
It is wild. It's lovely. Look at the Brecons. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Just
and it's
on
only,
our doorstep.
What is it, 45 minutes away from us?
Yeah, indeed. I briefly mentioned Christmas there. So I've got to actually come out with some very shocking news, actually.
Now, shock horror. My husband wants a
Christmas song
sausage roll.
He wants a sausage roll. Well, hang on. Apart from the fact he wants a sausage roll,
a Christmas song has been played on the station already.
Has it?
Yeah, we play Christmas songs. Yeah.
Oh, goodness me.
Well, Andy got in first, and I played the second.
Are you partial to an advent calendar?
I quite like advent.
I've had a gin vent calendar before.
Really?
My sister sat behind you. I know that she likes advent calendars.
She likes advent calendars.
On the 1st of December, she used to open them all and eat all the chocolates.
Hello, Claire.
Big smile.
Wait. She's in the background in the studio. But there's been a bit of controversy because Greggs has brought out a Christmas calendar, an advent calendar, we call it. And baby Jesus does not feature in the manger.
Yes.
Instead,
he's in puff pastry.
I'm not saying it's him, but he has been replaced by a humongous sized sausage roll. And there's been quite a
Christ.
Few. Yes, there's been quite a few.
That's terrible.
There have been quite a few complaints, and some people have taken offence. And you know, if you're a deeply devout person of religion, then you may take offence. I don't know whether it's the fence around the manger, maybe. But actually, what's worse, I've got the picture up on our big screen here, and unfortunately, there's a huge bite taken out at the end of the sausage roll as well.
But you know, it's £24 that calendar.
Apparently they've got about £36 worth of vouchers in there. Yeah. So every day,
fiver for every day.
Every day's worth a sausage roll or a drink or something like that. But some of them have got bigger vouchers.
I presume, considering that you wouldn't open it until Christmas Day, if the last one is a sausage roll, it's not actually in the calendar.
Well, let's hope
you don't take home like this dripping thing of fat.
Well, let's hope they're open on Christmas Day. I bet they're not.
If it's the last one, how did they find out? Who's gone to the last advent and opened it prematurely?
I think it's actually the advertising. Rather than on the calendar itself. I think they've used it in the advertising, the manger scene.
So
sneaky. So yeah, if you like sausage rolls and veggie puffs or whatever,
I'm veggie.
Oh, it says
you're veggie, aren't you?
There's 24 windows which you open to reveal a Greggs token, which you can exchange in store for menu items such as Greggs mint pies.
Other sausage roll vendors are available.
Yes, I was just going to say that,
but we thought
we've just been trying in the coffee.
Yeah,
that's not going down too well from one of our news readers who's now wired.
James is mid Greg's coffee at the moment. Anyway, listen, fantastic news down in Australia. How brilliant is that?
Yes.
Did you see the video of Sydney when because they were all in the parks and that, and when it actually was announced live?
Shout out, even beat Reuters to the tweet to say yes.
That's because you stayed up all night with a twitchy finger.
No, I wasn't up all night. I was in New York, you see, so I was around the other side. So I was watching it.
Coming from the rear.
I did.
Not
I was
like
with,
you, Ivan.
With my twitchy finger, I was there. So as soon as I did a bit of maths, they said, 7 million. And I knew like 12 million had actually voted. So I thought, well, that's a yes then, isn't it? So I was straight in their pre-programme. So well done, Australia. I mean, I don't know about you guys.
So what happens now, though?
Well, I've got friends in Australia who are British, and they've just moved down there about a year ago. And their marriage isn't recognised at the moment under the law. They're treated as civil partners, the equivalent of a civil partnership, but they're not treated
This is only
as
a vote.
Married.
It's non-binding.
Well, it wasn't a vote, was it? It was a referendum.
It was a referendum
to make it non-binding. Yeah.
But because it wasn't put on by the Australian government themselves, it was the equivalent of their Office of National Statistics, basically, that put it on. There were no legal barriers to saying whatever you liked about whatever side you were on. So
not like when we can't talk about. Stuff
yeah,
on the
so
radio.
There was no kind of purdah or anything like that. So there was a lot of very bitter comments going backwards and forwards. Mostly from the no side, I have to say, but very anti-LGBT comments.
Me.
Well, yeah. So of course now the Prime Minister said, well, actually now we're going to have this. It's going to go into law by December. They're talking about very, very quickly. But I'm not sure how this
so
is.
So no voting then? They don't need to vote anymore.
No, well, Parliament will have to vote, but we'll see how that happens. But there's going to be a lot of amendments going in from the opposition, trying to say celebrants don't have to. Do it, you know. So we'll see what happens.
Cool.
Quicker than Brexit, then.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, that's it for this week. Don't forget, you can listen again, though, if you so choose.
Just head to shoutoutradio.lgbt and grab the podcast.
Next week, we catch up with Bristol Pride, which should be good fun as well.
Yeah, everything's happening in 2018.
Yeah, but for myself and the rest of the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.